We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This team is just, they're just not a very good basketball team right now. Is that fair to say?
No, right now it's not. You're right. I think you see the value that Kevin Love has always brought to this team and what's missing. And the primary thing is that they don't have a legitimate second scoring option on a nightly basis.
Right.
They don't know where they're going to go for offense beyond LeBron. And that's a huge, huge problem. You know, you can get by without that at times throughout the course of the regular season, but in long stretches to not have that, it is very, very difficult. And the Cavs are dealing with that. And if they were a little bit better defensively, maybe they could lean on that. If they were more reliant on a system as opposed to individual talent, maybe they could lean on that. But that's just not how this team is constructed. This team is constructed to have two star players, and without one of those guys, too much is falling on the shoulders of LeBron on a nightly basis.
When Kevin Love comes back, Chris, are the expectations going to be too much? Is he going to be able to provide what this team needs? You know, like, because honestly, when I watch the Cavs right now, I'm not even taking this serious because you don't have your second best player, and I do think Kevin's going to make a difference. Am I putting too much on Kevin? I guess is the long-winded question.
Well, I don't think you are, and I don't think the Cavs are. I mean, that's who he is now. That's who he's going to have to be for this team. The way that they're constructed, there is no Kyrie Irving anymore. They gave up on Isaiah Thomas. You know, when they made the trade for Isaiah Thomas, they were thinking, okay, maybe possibly this guy can get back to his all-star level. He can get back to his MVP level, and then Kevin Love can be the third option again. That's not the reality of this team. The reality of this team is they need Kevin to be great consistently to make a deep postseason run, and they need him to be the second scoring option to make a deep postseason run. Can he be that? I don't know. I think that's one of the biggest questions going into the postseason for the Cavs. I think he's tremendous. I think he brings some things that are hard to quantify in terms of his floor spacing, his ability to attack mismatches, his ability to attack defenses when they switch everything, a scheme that a lot of defenses are using against the Cavs right now. But when the Cavs have gone through their postseason run, for the most part, Kevin's been the third option, and not as much has had to fall on him. It's been a lot on Kyrie. It's been a lot on LeBron. So can they be a great team in the postseason with Kevin as the number two option on a nightly basis? I don't know, and I don't think they have any idea. And I think the truth is that the Cavs are going to go into this postseason run, guys, with more questions about how far they can go and how they're going to go about winning games consistently in a seven-game series than they've ever had before.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Chris, I've been talking a lot lately about the fact that, you know, their guard play stinks, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have – you look at all the good teams in the NBA, right? Portland's got – all the other good teams have at least one, if not more, all-star caliber guard, right? Golden State, Portland, Houston, Boston, Toronto. You look at the list of champions – like, who's the last team that won a championship without not an all-star caliber guard? Maybe the Mavs in 11. Jason Terry was probably their best guard. And even he, in 2011, correct me if I'm wrong, is better than anybody the Cavs have at guard. Is that fair to say?
At that point, probably.
Yeah. Okay, so, like, you look at it, I mean, they're getting nothing. JR's useless. You know, I don't have to go through the whole list. Can you win without having an all-star caliber guard?
Well, I'll take it a step further, guys. LeBron's never been able to win a championship without that guy either. I think as great as he is, and he can be playoff LeBron for the Cavs again, he's going to be asked to do something in this postseason run that he's never been able to do before. If you think about it, in Miami, he had Dwayne Wade, and that was the second creator for him. And then here in Cleveland, he had Kyrie Irving, and that was the second creator for him. And he's just never not had that and been successful. So I guess we have to wait and see. George Hill needs to be better. That's what it comes down to. And maybe it's him being miscast right now because he's asked to do a little bit more than what he's capable of. And maybe when Kevin Love comes back and he becomes the second option, then everybody else is going to fall into place. Maybe it kind of has that domino effect, like a wide receiver one in the NFL or a cornerback one. Suddenly you get the guy, and that just allows everybody else to fill in the gaps around and actually perform to the level that they can perform to. Maybe that happens with George Hill. But he has been bad since coming over in the trade. He's had a couple of games here or there. But offensively, he's been inconsistent. His three-point percentage, which was the best in the NBA at the time they traded for him, has dropped significantly. And defensively, he has been worse here in Cleveland than he was even in Sacramento by the numbers in terms of defensive rating. And he still remains one of the worst defensive players at point guard in the NBA. So if they don't get more from him, I think it's going to be very, very difficult for them to win consistently unless Jordan Clarkson gives more consistency or unless Rodney Hood gives more consistency, because that second creator is something LeBron has always had when he's won a championship. And when he hasn't had that, he hasn't been able to win a championship. There's just too much pressure on a guy in a seven-game series without it.
Hey, what's the deal with Hood? And is his back, right, Rodney Hood?
Yeah. He has a lower back issue. And he didn't look very good last night running up and down the court against Portland, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I'm saying, is that serious? Do you think this could be a concern for the postseason, or are they going to just give him a couple weeks off here?
I think they're going to monitor it as close as they can, guys. I think they're going to be cautious with every single injury that comes up, whether it's Rodney Hood, whether it's Larry Nance Jr., whoever it may be. Because as LeBron even alluded to the other night, his biggest concern with the team, and maybe he has some other ones if he was being honest and truthful about things, but he said his biggest concern was the Cavs getting healthy and the injuries that they have been bitten by this year. So I don't think it's anything significant with Rodney Hood, but I think it shines a light on one of the reasons why Utah was willing to move on from him. And if you look at it, you say, wait, why would they trade away a 25-year-old 3-and-D wing? Those are the kinds of players that every team around the NBA is looking for. He has struggled with injuries throughout the course of his career. He was dealing with it in the postseason last year, and now he's already dealing with something here for the Cavs. So this is a guy who has, throughout the course of his career, been labeled injury-prone. And I don't know if it means that he doesn't fight through injuries as much as other players around the NBA, or if he's just more brittle and he has a knack for picking up these knickknacks throughout the course of the year. But this has been a problem that has followed him throughout his time, even when he was with the Utah Jazz.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Chris, it seems like the Cavs, the realistic situation with 14 games to go, they're going to finish anywhere between 3-6 probably. Mm-hmm. When you look at, they're likely to play either Indiana, Washington, or Philadelphia in the first round. We both said we thought Indiana was the preferable matchup of those three. Would you agree or no?
I would agree with that. Of those that you gave me, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got one star, and it's Victor Oladipo.
How does Indiana have a better record than the Cavs? I mean, just think about that for a minute, Chris. That's crazy.
It is. I think it also shows, as great as LeBron is, and he has been fantastic this year, he has played at an MVP level. He's not going to get it. He doesn't deserve it. But he, like other guys around the NBA who are also not going to get the MVP, has played at an MVP level. And I think Joe Vardon wrote about this for Cleveland.com, and he's right. I think LeBron has kind of reached this point in the NBA because of how other teams around the league are constructed, where his brilliance is just not good enough on its own to lift a team to victories anymore. And I think it's because of what has been created around the NBA with these quote-unquote super teams that they're not able to pile up the wins just with LeBron being great on his own. And I think it shines a light again. And I know Kevin's going to come back and he's going to be healthy, but the truth is the Cavs are going to go into this postseason with the worst supporting cast that LeBron has had in the last 7 years when he's been able to make these deep runs into the NBA Finals. And on top of that, the Cavs are going to face an Eastern Conference that is better, deeper, and has a legitimate threat for the first time in the last 7 years. And those are the realities of what they're up against.
And I want to talk about Toronto, because Toronto's obviously got to prove it in the playoffs. They haven't been able to beat the Cavs before. And, you know, as others pointed out, when I said that Toronto might win 60, well, Atlanta won 60 a few years ago, and obviously that didn't mean anything. Toronto has won 40 of their last 50 games, Chris. They've won 10 in a row, and they're 40-10 in their last 50 games. They're by far the best offensive team in the Eastern Conference, probably, besides Houston and Golden State, the third best offensive team in the league. And they've been better defensively. I know they're deeper. And as I said, they got to prove it. Do you believe they are they? What makes them different now from the team Cavs that have dispatched in past years?
So I think Toronto is closer to Golden State and Houston than the Cavs are to the Toronto Raptors, to be honest with you. And I think if you go back to 2010 when LeBron James joined the Miami Heat, this Toronto Raptors team that the Cavs are going to see in the postseason is better than any team that LeBron has seen.
Wow.
Period. Better than the Indiana Pacers that he had to get past. Better than the Boston Celtics at the time that he had to get past the Celtics, because they were a lot different. They were towards the end rather than towards the beginning. In terms of Eastern Conference opponents, this is the best one that LeBron is going to have to go through. And I think it's more than just, okay, you know, you look at all the numbers and they're great. It's the fact that they play a new style. That's what it comes down to. After the Cavs beat them last year in the NBA playoffs, Dwayne Casey even got up there on the podium and said, we have to do things different because this style that we're trying against the Cavs is not good enough. They became a better three-point shooting team with some new additions. They developed their bench into one of the best benches in the NBA that they didn't have last year, and they went away from ISO basketball, which killed them in the postseason because you knew it was either going to be Lowry, DeRozan, into this new style of offense that they feel like is going to make them more formidable in the postseason. Again, you said it, Bull. They have to prove it. Lowry has to prove it in the postseason. DeRozan has to prove it in the postseason. But past failure doesn't always equate to future failure. And just because something happened the way that it did last year or the year before doesn't mean it's going to happen to this particular team this year again. It's a better team. It's a deeper team. And they've got more talent, and they play a better style for the postseason. So these Raptors, I know not a lot of people have been paying attention to them this year. These Raptors are the real deal, and I would not sleep on them. They're the only team in the NBA that's top five in both offensive and defensive efficiency.
Chris Fedor is our guest. Chris, there was like a little confrontation with LeBron and Ty Lue last night, you know, going back and forth about something. Big deal, no big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal. I think it was about LeBron's shot selection, actually. At that point in the game, I think the Cavs wanted something better with their offense than what LeBron was actually giving them. So I don't think it's a big deal. I think the reality is you have a bunch of weird personalities on this team. LeBron has things that he gets upset about. Ty Lue has things that he gets upset about. LeBron wants things done a certain way. Ty wants things done a certain way. I think you're going to have clashes throughout the course of an 82-game regular season. So the Cavs are in the middle of a tough West Coast trip. It hasn't been the trip that they wanted. There's a lot of frustration inside the organization because of the injuries that they're dealing with. LeBron's obviously frustrated because he's had to carry so much of the load without Kevin Love. So I think that was just a buildup of things. And you're going to have conflict between a head coach and a player from time to time, especially when it comes to Ty, who's willing to challenge his players. He's done it in the past, and he's challenged LeBron in the past. So I don't make too much out of that.
I wonder, Chris, are the Celtics and Warriors whining about their injuries as much as the Cavs are?
I think it's a fair point. I don't know. It doesn't seem like Golden State is, honestly.
Yeah.
If anybody has any kind of beef, it's Boston. I mean, are you kidding me?
My gosh.
It's one thing after another for the Celtics, and they lost their second most important player 5 minutes into the NBA season. And
now Smart out 2 months, maybe. I mean, you know, he's Who knows if he plays at all?
And don't sleep on how big of an injury that is, because if you think about how Boston has played since the All-Star break, this guy's a big part of that is Marcus Smart coming back, bringing back that defensive identity, allowing them to play a small ball lineup, an up-tempo lineup, and he is a key piece of them even getting deep into this postseason because of the defense that he brings, especially against some of the teams that they're going to have to face in the Eastern Conference playoffs. I mean, we mentioned it. You're talking about Oladipo for Indiana. You're talking about the duo in Toronto. You're talking about the guards for the Washington Wizards. He is their best individual defensive player. Not having him takes away their ability to win games on the defensive end, and it puts more pressure on their offense. And that has been a struggle for the Boston Celtics all season long when they've had to consistently win games on the offensive end because they just don't have enough without Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be interesting. Toronto in the catbird seat. It's very,
oh, gosh,
very fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, too. Like, I know when it comes to the Cavs, everything's about April, May, and June, and they become a different team in the postseason. They can lock into, you know, one opponent and all these different things that you can say. But there's just nothing. Like, if you're willing to ignore everything that has happened throughout the course of the regular season, if you're willing to ignore everything great that you've seen from the Toronto Raptors, and you're just willing to hang on to what has happened in the past and what you think is going to happen again in the postseason, then you probably believe that the Cavs are the best team in the Eastern Conference. But I'm just not willing to ignore everything that I've seen throughout the course of this regular season and throw the Raptors to the side and throw the Cavs back into the NBA Finals because nothing adds up to that at this point.
All right, Chris, good stuff, man. We appreciate the time. Thanks, buddy.
You got it, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.